today there's a large group of allies and supporters from community to community development supporting Maru Mora Villalpando during a very stressful time. She received a call from the Northwest Detention Center that a group of Cuban detainees had gone on a hunger strike. I believe this is going to be the fifth one this year. And the reason is that Homeland Security has said that as the Trump administration gears up for his so-called, removing criminal aliens from the country and building the wall and all that, Homeland Security has been a lot more active. And unfortunately, what's happened at the prison in Tacoma called the Northwest Detention Center, because it's a prison, the staff of the GEO Corporation and the GEO Corporation itself has gotten, let's just say, more cruel. And in many ways, you could almost call that prison a torture chamber, in my opinion. So what's happening right now with this hunger strike is that a group of Cuban detainees in that prison have decided to go on strike because Homeland Security has told them that there is no process for them, that the Trump administration and Homeland Security has no idea what they're going to do with undocumented Cuban people, even though some of those Cuban detainees are questioning why they're even detained. Needless to say, they have been going through some very difficult times inside the detention center in Tacoma. And a couple of nights ago, they decided to start a hunger strike to try to get some attention to their cause about what's going on. Again, it's the same type of issues. The food is horrific, not enough food to eat. The treatment from the guards, the treatment from the management, from the GEO Corporation has been bad. So our sister, Maru Mora Villalpando, who leads the Northwest Detention Resistance, is there trying to bring some relief to those detainees because they have this, when they went on strike, they were what they call thrown into the hole. So they're in solitary confinement, being treated very badly. And the last time that farm workers or detainees went on strike inside the detention center, they were force-fed very violently. And then eventually they were removed from the detention center. And I have to let all of our people listening that what is happening now with detention and immigration, these kinds of immigration prisons, is that for all intents and purposes, these folks that were on a hunger strike a couple of weeks ago have disappeared. They have been disappeared. They have been shipped to other immigration prisons without anybody's knowledge of where they went, without any way for their families and loved ones and activists like Maru Mora Villalpando to locate them. And this is becoming a more and more frequent behavior from Homeland Security, which and these private prison corporations, where we're calling this basically treating immigrant workers like prisoners of war.
And their legal representation?
Their legal representation is trying desperately to protect them and to use whatever legal means is possible. But the reality is there is almost no way to legally represent immigrant detainees anymore.
The last time that we reported on the hunger strikes at the Tacoma Detention Center, we didn't hear a lot about how those ended. And what you're saying is the same people who went on hunger strike before, you are no longer able to contact and
you don't know
where they are.
They disappeared almost from, in the evening. The next morning they were gone. And I believe that Maru Mora Villalpando managed to locate two of them in a immigration prison in Arizona, and our sister organization Puente has been trying in vain to contact them inside to bring them some kind of legal representation, but it is becoming more and more difficult. Undocumented immigrant workers and their families are becoming almost like a non-entity with no rights, no consideration. I mean, there's a whole legal process that's being overlooked and basically erased, but the humanity component of how we treat other human beings is becoming more rash, rude, cold, cruel. You know, there's all kinds of words for that. And I think that that is our concern as an organization, community to community, is in solidarity and trying to use all of our resources and knowledge to protect, again, to save lives from inside the immigration detention center and bring at least the dignity that these workers deserve by calling attention and letting everybody know what's going on. So they're at the detention center as we speak. There's a group of C2C supporters and activists joining Maru Mora Villalpando as she tries desperately to call attention to what Homeland Security is doing in conjunction with and in partnership with these global prison corporations that are actually not just mistreating our people and denying them their human rights, but they're making money off of it.
They're doing it for profit.
They are profiting incredibly.
Right. Chia, last time, I haven't reached out to them, but last time they said that people were basically bored, that they could buy apples from the commissary. And so I have to ask, because people outside see you as somebody who's not in the detention center, how do you know that the information that you have is verifiable?
Because the people inside tell us. And I think that why would you – what kind of verification do you want other than people constantly getting sick because they're not eating enough, the depression levels, the numbers of people in depression go high. And when the family members go in and talk to their loved ones and see them losing weight, looking unhealthy, and they're being told they're not getting enough to eat – and the family members can't even take them any food. They can't eat anything that is not purchased at the commissary. And I've heard stories that even like a packet of salt costs $4 if they get to work, which is almost like a special treat to be allowed to work, you know. But then it's like a few cents per hour. It's a humiliation process. It's a process for losing their humanity and their dignity, but it's also very unhealthy. In community to community, we say this over and over again. We are on the side of workers. And if workers tell us these things are happening, we believe them.
You have just stated how dangerous it is to go on a hunger strike. If Cuban people have knowledge of this and they choose to go on a hunger strike anyway.
It's an expression of how bad the conditions are. Because everybody in the detention center knows about the hunger strikes. There's 1,650 people inside that prison, and they all know what's going on. So they're not going on a hunger strike for attention or for pleasure. This is a last desperate effort for not even for release or anything other than see me, hear me, I am dying in here. It's a last call for dignity to say, I at least am trying during my last moments to do something that brings me back my human dignity. And the saddest part about it is that, you know, when you look at the Tacoma prison, it's right next door to the Tacoma Dome. And people are going to concerts and all this. And this is where this country is at, is that right in plain sight, we are torturing, mistreating human beings. We've created this other that deserves to be treated this way. And so, you know, I mean, we're, as an organization, we're at the front lines of trying to call attention to this, of people that are in prison because they're undocumented. But at the same time, we've also been out here, not inside a prison, in Northeast Whatcom County in Sumas, again, undocumented immigrant workers living in a prison camp with a worker that died because he was malnourished and extreme dehydration.
And I remember reporting that 60 people or more, so it was 100 people, went on a one-day protest and lost their jobs.
That's
but
right.
Had not been given visas by Sarbanant. And so there was a camp set up for them. And what is the status right now?
So those workers were fired and asked to leave. And when you are fired, then you are no longer under the protection of the visa program that brought you there. You're not no longer under protection of anything. And they were asked to leave the property of the company with no money, no nothing, no transportation. You don't speak the language. So this encampment was set up in rural Sumas. And there were over 120 workers in that encampment. And I just, while I have a minute to thank our community for their response. It was quick. It was abundant. It was done in such a selfless manner. I have been enriched and absolutely not surprised, but overwhelmed with how the community responded, both the over the majority white community, but also the Latino community. I think everybody understands that a worker dying because he's underfed, malnourished, and also dehydration in our own community is just something that should not be happening. So we put up a strong fight. We sustained them while they were there. We took their stories. We had tons of media. It was overwhelming. But it was amazing. And I, you know, the current social media of Facebook and live feed and all that, it just went all over the world. And the most rewarding thing about that is that a lot of those Mexican workers' families were able to see them in Mexico. And there was a strong connection. There were no borders between us and them and the families talking to each other and updating them about what was happening. But we did manage, through all of the pressure and the support from the community, we managed to force the company to buy those workers flights so they could go home to Mexico where they wanted to go on a plane instead of being driven in these horrible chartered buses. But the workers said, we don't trust the company's going to take us back to the border. We don't know where they're going to take us. We are not getting on those company buses. So we did manage to get them their flights to go back to Mexico. We also managed to force the Mexican consulate to come up here and give each one of those workers $300 cash so that they had expenses. We also forced the company to issue the workers the money owed to them, their paychecks, which they said when they fired the workers, your paychecks are going to be mailed to your home address in Mexico. So, you know, there were a lot of victories. The workers managed to go home. The camp, this last week, we have been cleaning up the camp. We're restoring Joaquin Suarez and Lucia Suarez's home and their yard and restoring their property. So many things came out well. It was a short time of us being able to respond in a human way and in the morally correct way to workers in our own backyard. But there's still a lot of work to be done. There is a lawsuit being prepared. The Department of Labor and Industries, Department of Health, and Washington and Employment Security Department are conducting interviews and investigations. So I urge everybody to call them and say, you have better hold this company accountable for what happened.
As you know, we are also focused on the state of emergency that the Lummi Nation called regarding the salmon and the salmon escape last week. You said that you saw a tie between what's happening with Sarbanand and the salmon emergency.
And that salmon emergency and that salmon, looking at that, the salmon that escaped from that farm was just heartbreaking to me. And I think as farm workers, we understand and feel in our hearts and our spirits a solidarity with Native peoples and trying to protect their salmon. And what I wanted to say is that Sarbanand is a multi-billion dollar corporation based in California that bought 1,000 acres here of locally owned dairy farms and then planted blueberries. The Department of Ecology and other agencies have actually found this company guilty and fined them for polluting the land that they're on. I know that there was an incident of the company actually releasing feces and sewage water into a creek that hurts the water for the salmon, right? And this is a huge company now, 1,000 acres with 650 workers picking. But then there's also the issue that we all need to think about, that these are not organic berries. So they are being spread. You're talking about 1,000 acres that are being sprayed daily with toxic chemicals that kill farm workers, but it's also seeping down into the water table here locally. And that's a huge infusion of toxic chemicals into the local water table that is going to hurt the salmon.
Yeah.
In local animals, little critters here, you know, in our county. Right. So, I mean, this is like a huge infusion of toxicity in our community by Sarbanand Farms and with their label Nature Ripe that we all need to be aware of. And if you want to join this fight on how to stop this kind of poisoning of our waters, killing of farm workers, call community to community and we'll see how we can work together, because we have to really pay attention to what the agricultural industry from out of state is doing to our food system locally.
And I just want to wrap up by emphasizing that people may see community to community as being immigrant rights or immigrant issues, but your scope, as you pointed out, is much more interconnected.
It's much more interconnected because we are farm workers. We are human beings like everybody else, and we care about all of the issues that are affecting everybody in our community. But as farm workers, we also understand that Mother Earth feeds us. We work on the land to feed all of you that eat food. Therefore, there is no way for us to separate ourselves from these other issues. And the fact that one decision can say that we are an illegal human being does not take away from us the fact that we also care about Mother Earth, we care about you, we care about the eaters, and that we're members of this community. So as an organization, we take on whatever affects the farm workers and what they tell us affects them, which is everything that affects you. We are just like you. So, you know, check us out. Go to our website, our Facebook page. But we have a huge fight ahead of us because this administration is not going to let up with programs such as the H-2A program. H-2A is it's called also the guest worker program, which is a contractor worker program where the federal government allows corporations, agricultural corporations, to go to Mexico and contract workers and then ship them into work under some very strong, narrow criteria where they can only work for one employer. They have no rights, no right to organize. And they're just shipped all over the country to do the work. And this is more than temporary work. These workers have been here, for example, from May 1st, and they're contracted to stay working until the end of October. So it's half a year. They are our neighbors, and this is a very strict legal contract that basically gives the workers no rights at all. And the way I see it, if you go out and you look at that labor camp, it's a prison camp for slaves. And a worker dying of malnutrition and thirst, in my opinion, that is how you treat slaves. And we are not going to be quiet about it. We're not going to keep it, you know, nice. We're going to say it like it is. This company is treating Mexican workers from Mexico that are being brought in like they're machines, like they're animals, and they frankly do not care.
Rosalinda, thank you so much. I know you're dealing with a lot of fronts right now. Thank you for taking the time to give us an update.
Thanks for the time to talk.